keeping you company overnight. John Lewis. Talking Birds.
I said we were going to talk to a Hollywood guest, an action superhero, if you like. I mean, imagine this. Imagine getting paid to smack people out or being smacked out. I mean, it sort of sounds a little bit funny, but these people, they do it and they don't get hurt. Well, the plan is they don't get hurt. And we thank them for some of the really exciting moments in movies. We thank them for some of the comical moments we see in TV commercials. And for those of us into video games, we thank them for a lot of the amazing scenes we see there. But what does it take? How do you do it? And who exactly are these people? Well, let's talk to one right now. Reuben Langdon joins us. How are you, Reuben?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Well, very well. What made you decide to take the life of the action hero, if I could use that title?
Well, I'd have to say it's from my... growing up watching kung fu movies, particularly Jackie Chan and Bruce Lee and Sammo Hung, of course, those were my biggest idols. And just seeing the magic that they performed on screen made me want to, you know, pursue it myself, and I did.
Now, you've actually got to spend some time with Jackie Chan, is that right?
Yeah, I've worked on a couple of things with him, most notably the film The Medallion. It was originally a Hong Kong film, which then got bought out by Sony Pictures for a worldwide release. But we shot that in Hong Kong and Thailand, and I wasn't part of the Ireland shoot, but there was even some shooting in Ireland.
How about that? Now, what's it like working with someone like Jackie Chan? Because normally when you meet the people that are sort of leaders in the field, they tend to be quite remarkably, generous in their assistance.
Yeah, definitely. Jackie Chan is one of those. He's a very generous guy. He's always looking after, you know, his crew and his stunt crew. And I guess he's got a very tight crew around him, and he takes care of them. For that film, Sammo Hung, actually, he was the action director. And... He brought me in, and he took care of us. You know, Jackie took care of us. It was a very kind of family-oriented work environment, which was really cool, especially to be part of those guys' family.
Now, the sort of action Jackie does, of course, is comedic action. I think he talked about Buster Keaton a lot as well. So, did you find that you had to change your style to make it more funny rather than tough?
Not too much. I had, from my training and my background up until then, I'd been working on shows like Power Rangers and doing...
Yeah, I want to talk to you about that, because that's great, Power Rangers.
Yeah.
I mean, who gets to be a Power Ranger or, you know, be with them?
Yeah, well, it's very similar, the styles, actually, believe it or not, the action styles and, you know, the comical moments and... there's a time to be serious, and then there's a time, you know, to be goofy and play. But either way, you're being, you know, very physical, and you're showing off, spectacular moves and action and fight choreography and a particular style of acting. So that's kind of where my roots had already come from. So it was, you know, I blended in quite well.
So how did all this start for a young Reuben Langdon? Were you always very active? Were you always looking for some activity, taking your bicycle and riding it off a ramp?
Yes and no. Believe it or not, I was quite the nerd in high school. Growing up, I kind of stayed home and played video games all day. Maybe that's what's helping me now with my video game career, but I wasn't much of an athlete. I always had the interest to do and perform martial arts, but I'd never had the opportunities just from where I was living in the States. I was living in Atlanta, Georgia, and just there wasn't really much very many martial arts schools or anything to study at near where I lived. But at the young age of 19, I moved to Japan, and as soon as I got there, you know, I found opportunities to take martial arts and to study what I wanted to study, and got into it pretty heavy right away. I started studying Aikido every day.
Sure, but once you do all this, I mean, I've heard of people studying, and you know, you learn how to do the moves. But what happens next? How do you say, well, I know how to do karate, for example. How do I now become an action man? How do I become a stunt double? How do I take that fall for the TV commercial? How do I get into a movie? What happens?
Well, I was lucky at the young age, you know, 19, when getting to Japan, I started my training right away. I got into modeling over there just to kind of pay the bills. So I started getting in front of the camera for commercials and modeling jobs. And
I love how people throw that into a conversation. Oh, yeah. Oh, and I did modeling. And good for you, too.
Well, I didn't really have the urge or the want to get into that career, but it was kind of out of a necessity to pay the bills. People, they used at the time they used more Westerners for a lot of commercials and things, and it paid quite well. So I registered with some of the agencies out there, got into modeling, and got in front of a camera doing things. At the same time, falling in love with Jackie Chan and Sammo Hung and those types of films. And then I got called in for an audition for a TV show called B-Fighter Kabuto, which is very similar to the Power Rangers. And they were looking for a Western, an American role for a high school exchange student that would kind of come in and help the regular cast fight the bad guys. And it was for... at the time I was young, I fit the bill. I had martial arts training, and I was just getting into the acting stuff.
Wow!
So I landed that role, and working my first. I remember my first day on the set. I got to act, jump off a trampoline, and throw some kicks and punches, and I knew that day. That was the day I said, "This is what I'm going to do the rest of my life."
Oh, good for you! At 19, you got the realization. Now, I know in various parts of the world, and certainly in Hollywood and Australia, many countries, if you do anything like this, there's all sorts of safety equipment around. But in some countries, and I have heard even in Japan, particularly in Hong Kong, things can get a little dicey. Sure. I mean, how was safety first in those areas?
I worked starting in Japan and then working my way back. So I actually started in Japan, then worked in Hong Kong, and then came back to the States and worked in the film industry here. So it kind of went in reverse. Yes, there's definitely tighter safety regulations, I'd say, for bigger stunts here in the States and probably in Australia as well. Which is good. I think for the bigger stunts in Japan, there's kind of and in Hong Kong, there's a little bit of a neglect to certain things, which that was back then. Things have gotten much better now.
Do you think it gives you an advantage, though? Do you think it makes you say, oh, look, I can do it a bit simpler. I don't need all that safety equipment now. Come on, boys, let's just do it.
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes there's a need for that. Sometimes I've been on sets here in the States. There's something actually pretty simple that, you know, as long as the player the performer has confidence in performing the move, there's really not a big need for safety equipment. And sometimes things get dragged out and production time and everything else. And you're just like, don't give me a wire. Let me just, jump. Let me just do it. And I've been in that situation a few times where it's just you have to tell everybody, okay, look, just believe in me, believe in my ability. I can do it. We can cut a lot of time here. Just hit me, and let's get this shot, and let's move on. It might sting a little, but it's not going to be fatal or anything like that. So,
now, what about the danger side of things? Have you been hurt? And how bad?
Unfortunately, yeah, I've been pretty beat up through the years. It seems like a lot of injuries have happened offset. Every day you kind of get your bumps and bruises. But the goal is to not get hurt, because I think this is every stuntman's goal. Once you're hurt, you're not working. you know, a hurt stuntman can't work. So you always want to be in tip-top shape and mm-hmm. Prepared for anything. You know, the phone could ring any time, any hour for a job tomorrow, and you always want to just be ready for that. So we, I'm pretty sure most of the stunt community out there throughout the world, I know a lot of Aussie stunties as well, and we all try to, make sure we're at the top of our game and constantly training.
Sure.
And,
now, if you're just about to do a stunt and something in your mind says, oh, I think I'm a bit tired or I think I'm not 100% focused, is that enough to make you say, stop, call it off, I'm going to have to take a break?
Yes, it is. Yeah, you have to kind of weigh in all the factors. If you're not comfortable doing it, you tell the stunt coordinator, hey man, I'm just, you know, I don't want to hurt the production, disgrace the show, but this is just, I can't do it. And that's much better than actually doing it and then getting hurt or, you know, that, because you would deface the stunt coordinator or lose face in front of him and the crew if you were actually to do the stunt and get hurt. So if it's something you're not sure of, then you should definitely try to, speak your word and speak your mind and make sure you don't get hurt.
A bit of clarity and a bit of honesty. Now, Ruben, you've been involved in so many things, but just recently you've done a lot of work in video games. So tell us quickly or briefly about that.
Yeah, I my first game, motion capture is the technology used for games where they actually put on the markers on, you know, a spandex suit, and Andy Serkis kind of made it popular with Gollum in Lord of the Rings, but most video games actually use motion capture to create lifelike movements for the characters, and also cut down production time to a certain extent. So, most recently, Resident Evil 5, I did the motion capture for the role of Chris, and I love the world. I love the world of motion capture. It's definitely different than, you know, live action, I think.
Mm. Requires very accurate movements, too, I'm guessing.
Very accurate movements, and different type of acting, but I love it because, one thing, it's, for the most part, it's safe. I've gotten beat up, but it's not very fatal for the most part. We've done some crazy wire stuff in motion capture that I guess could, if it went wrong, it could be fatal. But for the most part, you're in a controlled environment indoors or, you know, in a studio, whereas, you know, for some of the bigger stunts you do for films, you're outside on a, you know, on a bridge or on a wire. You know, there's so many factors that could go wrong. So I really like the world of motion capture just for that, because you're usually, you can have mats and wires to assist things, and the cameras only see the markers, so you can kind of cheat your way with some of the moves by having somebody come in and literally hold you up or manipulate your body a certain way, because the markers don't, or the cameras don't see them. They're infrared cameras. They only see these marker dots. So as long as they don't have dots on.
So it's like, mate, give me a push.
Yeah, exactly. And so, which is, it's good and bad, because they get a little lazy, because you think, oh, well, I can just have this guy come in and do it. So then when you go out and do it for the real world, you just have to be careful.
And what's it like on the wire? I mean, come on, you're on this wire, and they don't look real thick, those wires. I'm guessing they're strong. What are you like when you do your jump? Do you feel like you're in one of those, do you think you're doing it for real when you're on a wire?
There's a bit of, it's a bit of finesse of both. When you're on a wire, a lot of factors you have to weigh in is not just your own movements, but the guy who's pulling you or the team of people who are pulling you. So it's a lot of timing and communication back and forth between the actual pullers and yourself and what your moves are. So a lot of calculation is going into every move, and then you have to act on the wire too. So it may look very simple and easy, but you know, it's timing and that you have to do the right amount of your own push with the right amount of the other people pulling, and it just takes a little getting used to, and then also incorporating new moves and different things. It's very difficult.
Well, rather you
it's
than
much
me.
Easier, it looks much easier than it actually is.
Well, that's your challenge, isn't it? To make it look simple, make it look smooth. And Ruben, is there a stunt that you and your stunt buddies think is the world's greatest on-screen stunt? And it's okay if it's one of yours.
Oh, definitely not one of mine. But
is there one that we can go rent the DVD and go, that's the best stunt, look at that?
All the stunts, of course, are out there, you know, and there's so many movies. Wow, my mind's just being overloaded right now.
Uh-oh, you're thinking of them all.
Things.
Well, while you're pondering that, just briefly, would you give a little bit of advice to some would-be stunt action heroes tuned in this morning who are thinking, well, you know, maybe we might try that?
I would say, yes, try it, but make sure you try it with a controlled environment. You know, the movies always make it look easier than it actually is. There's so much thought and calculation that goes into each stunt. And even then, you know, there have been situations where stunts go wrong. So don't go out there and copy exactly what you see on the screen, because, you know, it usually it's not just some guy doing the thing if what it looks like. You know, there's a lot of, you know, safety equipment, wires, and airbags and different things that are laid out to make things go well.
So, he might even have his mate giving him a bit of a push.
Exactly. More times than you think, actually. So,
oh, really?
So definitely, you know, find the crew that are doing those stunts, you know, and practicing and training. And I know in Australia there's a lot of really talented stunt people out there. Some of my really good friends are down there, as well as all over the world now, actually, doing stuff. I just worked with Brad Allen, who is part of Jackie Chan's stunt team, and he's doing a film in Toronto. And he's originally from Australia, in the stunt groups down there. So there's a lot of groups down there. They're you know, well trained. They have great equipment, the latest technology, and, you know, make sure, I would say, just team up with some of those guys. Learn from those guys.
Very wise advice. I like it. And Ruben, where do we see you? You've mentioned Resident Evil 5. That's a new video game that we can go check out and see your good work there.
Resident Evil 5 is the latest Capcom game that I'm in. I do a lot of voice work as well. I play the role of Ken Masters in Street Fighter 4 and the Devil May Cry series, Part 3 and 4. I play the role of Dante, doing the voice and the motion capture for that character. Film-wise, I mentioned I was just working with Brad Allen up in Toronto on a film called Scott Pilgrim, which is directed by Edgar Wright, and that should be coming out. It's starring Michael Sierra. I have a little bit part in that.
Hey, very nice. Scott Pilgrim.
Scott Pilgrim. And hopefully soon, James Cameron's Avatar will be out soon.
All right.
I did a lot of motion capture work on that. More stunts. Actually, many of the stunts in that film you'll probably see me in.
And is that...
you won't really see me, but many of the stunts are me.
Okay, that's the way it works, isn't it? And is James Cameron a nice person to work for?
Oh, he's amazing. It was such an honor to work with him and learn so much. The guy's he's so creative, and it was a real big honor to work with him.
Well, it's a bit of an honor and a privilege talking to you this morning, Ruben Langdon.
Sure.
And we can find out more about you on your website, which is a great website, easy to find, www.rubenlangdon.com, R-E-U-B-E-N-L-A-N-G-D-O-N.com.
Correct.
And if you let it load up, you see that cool image of you there sitting, that's you there on the chair, right, with the teddy bear and just relaxing.
Little goofy website. It's still in the works. I actually just got off the ground. So
I love it. I thought it was I was watching it looking for the link. I thought, where does he link this? How does he do that? It's worth having a look just for that, Ruben.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for your time this morning. I appreciate it. Our friend Ruben Langdon joining us from the USA, and he's an action hero. He does all those stunts. He gets paid to jump off buildings and fly through the air and even make video games. How good. What a nice life. And we'll see him in the upcoming movie, the new James Cameron movie, Avatar. So keep an eye out. In the credits, you'll see Ruben Langdon.
Keeping you company overnight, John Lewis. Talking Birds.